Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 this morning. Influence. We have God-given influence, each and every one of us. And we've been called to pass it on. To influence others, to affect others. I'm sorry. There you go. And we can choose to use the influence that God has given us, or we can choose to ignore it. And we can choose to use that influence for positive impact, or we can choose to use it for negative impact. We see we are salt and light. We've been given gifts from the Holy Spirit, and we've been entrusted with the gospel, with our own lives, with the others around us. This morning, as we think about our influence, we have something very powerful within us, the Holy Spirit. And we should know that we are indwelt. We're going to see from John 14:16 the indwelling that Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, and He's going to dwell within us. He's going to abide with us and dwell within us forever. I want to lay a little bit of background for that before we dig into the passage. And I can only imagine the disciples. They've been with Jesus for 3 years now. And Jesus said, well, I'm leaving. And they're kind of confused because while they've been learning a lot, and Jesus, this isn't the first time He's mentioned this, they haven't wrapped their minds around this yet. But where are you going, Jesus? And aren't you kind of taking over? Aren't you the King, the Messiah? Where are you leaving? And what's going on? He says, I know there's sorrow filling your heart, but this is for the better. And I'm just thinking, okay, 3 years and we're going to be left alone. Our master, the one who was everything to us, I think we're finally realizing He's God. He's the Messiah. He's leaving. And let's just imagine then this is confusion as the next events roll through for the next 24 hours, and they see Him arrested that night. They all scatter. Some of them are trying to figure out what's going on. John's at the cross. Peter tries to peek in at the trials before he denies Jesus and runs off. And they're really not sure what's going on. But their Lord and Master and the one they've been following for 3 years just got arrested. Seems like things are going south quickly. And then, of course, He dies on the cross. Then maybe they thought some miracle would happen at that point while He's on the cross. And yet, He bows His head, says it's finished, and He dies. And I just imagine for the next 2 days while Jesus' body is in the grave. And they're, now what? And they're alone. And Jesus is trying to give them warning. We're in the setting of what's going on here in John 13 through 17. Jesus on Palm Sunday enters into Jerusalem. It's His last week on earth before His death. And this is the night before. He goes to the upper room to celebrate Passover with them, the washing of the feet. Now He's talking to them about this counselor, this other helper, and we'll come back to that. But he's leaving. Judas is going to betray Him. And this is kind of His last time of teaching with the disciples before everything's going to come into action, and it's all going to hit them like a whirlwind. John 17, He kind of closes out that time praying for them. And then they're out in Gethsemane, and Jesus gets arrested, and everything starts. So here is our Jesus' last teaching to His disciples before His death. Jesus' last words to them, in a sense. I'm just picturing if you knew that you were here for just a little bit longer and the people nearest and dearest to you, what would you say to them? It'd be kind of important, right? And Jesus has some important words to them. And part of that is the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm not leaving you as orphans. We'll come back to the text, but what we see is that He's giving in John 14, He says, I will send John 14:16, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. And that word another is another of the same kind. So this isn't somebody else in place. This is another of the same kind. So it's all the Holy Spirit. He's God himself. That word helper is a big word. Some of you might have counselor in your translation. Some of you might have comforter. I'm not sure if you'd have anything else, but it's that word to come alongside of and to the words kind of counsel or comfort or encourage or exhort, to call. I'm right alongside of you. I'm with you through this. And the Holy Spirit is not only right alongside of us, he's going to dwell within us. Jesus says, right in the next verse, the Spirit of truth. That's who I'm giving you. The world can't receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. The indwelling Holy Spirit. That's going to be a big deal. And there's different ministries of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just clarify real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we get baptized by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, if you want to jot that down. The Spirit baptism. It says, for by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That happens when we're saved. We don't have to do anything to make that happen. When we receive Jesus, trust in him, acknowledge that we need him as a Savior, and we receive eternal life at that moment. At that moment, we receive the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into him. And then at that moment, then we receive the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us at that moment. We know that he is a guarantee. Ephesians 1:13, if you want to write that down. Ephesians 1:13 and 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We've been sealed and we've got a guarantee. Jesus left. But we're not alone. We've got the Holy Spirit with us and he's coming back. And we're going to receive that inheritance. And we've got the guarantee, the down payment of that. And now that is the Holy Spirit will dwell within us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Verse 20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's saying, don't do whatever you want. He start off 1 Corinthians 6 talking about freedoms. All things are lawful, but all things are not beneficial. All things aren't helpful. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus when we trusted in him, and because we belong to him, the evidence of that is in our hearts and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. There's nothing you can do to lose the indwelling Spirit. If you trust in Jesus, the Spirit dwells within you from the moment of salvation all the way till you enter into glory. But we can fluctuate in how much we are filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And there's a lot of questions, what does that even mean, and how do I do that? That's a command right there, but it's a passive command. Like, be filled. Okay, I want to do that, so how? And it's contrasted with, okay, one contrast to it is being drunk with wine. I'm filled with something else, and when you get drunk, you're kind of under the influence, under control. So instead of being under control of wine or anything else, let yourself be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Be filled in the sense that you are fully yielded to him so that you will be under his control. It involves yielding your will so that the Spirit can do with you, with your body, with all of you, what God wills. And it's a complete surrender. And you can kind of fluctuate in that. Today I might be surrendered to the Spirit. Tomorrow I might be struggling and clinging on to, I want to control myself. The next day I might be completely controlled by something else because I've submitted my desire and pursuit of that. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a command. It's conditional. You can lose that at times. And it's an ongoing thing. You have to continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. So be constantly yielding yourself. And it's that yielding, that being filled with the Spirit. We've got the indwelling Spirit, so we've got the power within us, but we need to be under its control. Therefore, we must faithfully depend on the Holy Spirit. We must faithfully depend on the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize I've got two chunks of Scripture from two chapters here that we're not going to be able to cover in full, but I'm going to kind of glean from it some of the ideas that will help us realize how we're going to do this. How are we going to faithfully depend on the Holy Spirit? How are we going to trust Him? It's the hardest thing to let go of control. And I got to do it with faith. How am I going to let go, give control to the Holy Spirit, depend on Him? I can't do it myself. There's times I've maybe thought in my heart, the same way as Samuel proclaimed last night, I don't need it anymore. I can do it myself. I would never say that, but sometimes I get on my track. That, hey, I'm depending on myself, and I love Galatians 3:3. It's a rebuke right away. Galatians 3:1, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ is clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? It's like, I'm not doing this in my own power. This whole thing started by the Spirit, by Christ working in me, and this whole thing is going to end by Christ working in me, by His Spirit that's been placed in me to do the ministries that we're going to see that He does today, and to depend on Him through those. There's four things we're going to need to do that'll help us to faithfully depend on the Holy Spirit. The first is this, never stop learning. Never stop learning. So we pick up in John 14:15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I'll pray the Father that He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. So that's a permanent indwelling. We don't lose that. And that's the Spirit of truth. The world can't receive Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. So who has the Holy Spirit? Believers do. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, you don't. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, that's indicative. And I can't look out there and see who the Holy Spirit is living in. They're the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. But Jesus says, I'm sending the Spirit and He'll live in you. He'll abide with you forever. He will dwell with you and be in you. And so I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So that's kind of His promise. They're going to be a little bit confused here, but He says, a little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you and me, and I in you. So there's this unity, this unity between Father and Son, a Spirit, and this unity between us and them as we abide in one another. There's also language here and throughout the Scripture that it's in a way the Father and the Son who dwell in us as well. We have this indwelling, and we have a lot of power within us. Judas objects, and he's wondering, good question, Lord, how is it that you'll reveal yourself to us, but not to the world? And Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, this kind of sounds conditional. You got to obey the word to have the Holy Spirit, but comparing, it's abiding in us forever. We can't lose it, and keeping His word is going to be to believe in Him, and as we're trusting in Him, the Spirit dwells within us, and that's going to be the foundation for that dwelling. And we're going to see throughout that depending on the Holy Spirit is going to be by the word. It's not just, we can claim all kinds of things that the Spirit said to me, but if it contradicts the Word, there's no way. Ephesians 6, when we're talking about the armor of God, we see the Spirit's weapon. Ephesians 6 says that, Ephesians 6, where is that? sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. There we go, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Spirit's sword, the Spirit's weapon is the word. And that's the, how he functions within the truth of the Bible. So, first of all, that's going to drive me to want to grow in that truth all the time, to keep learning all the time. Never stop learning. As I keep pursuing, keeping God's word and obeying it and loving Him, the Holy Spirit is going to do some amazing things through me, and His power is going to increase within me. And then he says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, that Counselor, that Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. So here's the first ministry of the Holy Spirit. He teaches. So if the Holy Spirit's teaching me, then I better be learning. I should never stop learning. The Holy Spirit's within me. He's in me all the time. He's going to be teaching me all the time. In the most bizarre circumstances, God's still working in me. And I might want to go to my flesh and live out my frustration or whatever else. There's certain situations, just like, what is this? Is out of control, and this doesn't make any sense. Do you know what? God's still in control, and it's not about me, and God's teaching me something through it. And I better be realizing that every moment is a teaching moment, that I can learn to become more like Christ, that I can learn to submit my will to Him, that I can depend on what is God the Holy Spirit doing in me, and be looking for and examining myself, but never stop learning. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 through 16, if you want to write that down. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we've got the Spirit within us that's teaching us. And He's going to open our eyes. He's going to help us to see. He's going to help us understand Scripture. He's going to help us understand God's will. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, but with which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And sometimes I can start to look naturally and think, well, this doesn't make any sense. But when I submit to the Spirit and let Him show me, He can open my eyes, give me that spiritual discernment. 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's the Spirit's work within us. He's teaching us. He wants us to see things that, from a perspective that we wouldn't see it before. And a perspective where maybe somebody almost hit me in the parking lot. And I want to tell them off. They shouldn't have been doing that. Shouldn't have been driving crazy. They should have. Maybe it's the person who got in my way at the store. Maybe it's somebody who scolded my kids meanly at the store, and I didn't agree with the way they did that. Whatever the case, how do I respond? And am I going to learn? Am I going to reflect the Spirit of God within me? Am I going to keep learning what He's trying to teach me? Let's go right along with it. The next is to remember God's words. Remember God's words. As I continue and jump back in John 14, verse 26, it says, He will teach you all things, and He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit's going to be reminding us. He reminds. That's another ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if He's trying to stir some up, some sort of remembrance up in us, then first of all, we better be thinking about, what has God taught me? What has God shown me? What are His words? What has Jesus said? And Jesus is going to be gone, but they're not alone. And Jesus taught them so much. And they're eventually going to have, they're going to write it out in Scripture. We're going to have it, but the Holy Spirit's going to help to stir that back up in them. And He's going to work to remind us, hey, here I am, and I was memorizing Isaiah 53:5, and I was starting to think, you know, things are so bad for me, and I realized, well, Jesus really had it a lot worse than me, and he had it because of me, and he had it for me, and he's given me his healing. He's given me his peace. In my bad moment of the day, the chastisement for our peace is upon him. I don't deserve that. This isn't that bad. I can... God's words in my heart is... The Holy Spirit just reminded me of that, and how transforming that is when we do the work to study the Word, to read it regularly, to memorize it, and let God show us something through it. And God can capture our attention real quick when the Holy Spirit reminds us. If I'm tuned in to what's God teaching me, and he might remind me, hey, wake up. Remember when I said that in my Word? I was talking to you right now in this moment. That wasn't for you just to receive Jesus as your Savior. That was to tell you how much you need me in this little moment of time. And the Holy Spirit goes a long way to remind us, and we can recall to our mind the words of God that he's putting into our heart, that the Holy Spirit's opening our eyes to and helping us to understand, and then reminding us of it in the course of the day, because this isn't just concepts. This is something to practice as we go about life. This is a big one. We have to devote yourself to truth. Devote yourself to truth is something we have to do all the time. I'm going to jump to John 16. Jesus says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." So, They're starting to feel sorry, sad. What's going on? Was this for nothing? Should I just go back to my old way of life? He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So I'm going to go away for a while so that you can have the Holy Spirit. You can have him living right within you. He's going to be with you all the time. And he's going to do some amazing things. Verse 8, "When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." What does that mean? He says, "Of sin because they don't believe in me." The greatest sin of the world is unbelief. We can even fall into this ourselves, just the moments where we fall into sin, and there's probably a root of unbelief to it. Romans 14:23 says that anything that is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." So I either believe or I don't. But the root of sin is my unbelief. And that's the greatest of those sins. He says, he'll convict you of sin because they don't convict them of sin because they don't believe in me. He says he'll convict them of righteousness because I'm going to my Father and you see me no more. In other words, the standard of righteousness won't be here, but the Holy Spirit will be convicting them of that righteousness. What is sin and what is righteous? What's wrong and what is right? And who is righteousness? And the Holy Spirit is going to be working that in the hearts of the world. And by the way, I say world, this is a ministry to unbelievers, but I think it encapsulates what he's going to do to us too, because there's plenty of other side comments that this is the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and he's going to show us truth, and the truth is what is sin and what is righteousness. And so if the Spirit of truth is going to do that, it's a ministry to the world, but it's a ministry in our own hearts as well. And he says, "Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." We're approaching Good Friday and Easter when we remember when the ruler of this world was judged. The ruler of this world was judged on the basis of our sin. And sin doesn't go unpunished. And the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of that, that sin doesn't go unpunished. There is judgment. Even Jesus himself was judged because God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We got God's righteousness, and he got our sin. When there was judgment, and there's judgment either way. You're either judged by the righteousness of Christ. You have been made new, and you bear the righteousness of Christ, or you're judged by your sin. Somebody's judged for your sin, though. Either you are, or that judgment was passed to the ruler of this world. We have to devote ourselves to truth, though. devote ourselves to understanding what is truth, to growing in it, to living it out, that I would portray that with my life. Because first of all, the Holy Spirit's convicting. He's going to be convicting me as I go about. He's going to convict me that, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Or, hey, you need to do this. Or, hey, here's your next move. The Holy Spirit is going to work in my heart to convince me of truth. And then I can decide how I'm going to respond to it. And then the Holy Spirit's going to be working in the hearts of the world to convince them of truth. And they're going to decide how they're going to respond to it. So the conviction of the Holy Spirit doesn't guarantee any conversion or anything else, but it does guarantee that the truth will be known. The Holy Spirit will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. In other words, He's going to convict us that I'm guilty and God is just and there's judgment for all. So how do I want to show the world that another ministry of the Holy Spirit is that He convicts? Well, I'm going to show them that He's convicted me, and I'm going to show them truth and let the Holy Spirit use my demonstration of the truth and my sharing of the Word. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So as I share that Word, let the Holy Spirit use that to convict. And that can go a long way to see how the Holy Spirit does a lot with that. Finally, I'll try to wrap this up quickly. A fourth ministry of the Holy Spirit is He guides. And if He guides, we must follow His lead. The Holy Spirit guides. Verse 12, He says, I still can have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. I mean, Jesus has already unloaded all kinds of truth. He says it's too much to keep going. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And if the Holy Spirit guides, then we certainly must follow His lead. He's going to guide us into all truth. Galatians 5:16. If you want to write that down, Galatians 5:16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're living by the Spirit, if we're submitting, yielding, depending on the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's gonna show us the way. He's gonna lead us and guide us. And then we have the example of Jesus surrendering His will in Mark 14:36, when He's praying and He says, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but Your will be done. This prayer we can pray all the time. Lord, this is what I want. We can bring our desires to God and then surrender them to Him. Not my will, but Yours be done. I'm going to follow Your lead, Lord. Whether it's unto death, whether it's unto discomfort for me, whether it's unto persecution, a ridicule, or just simply doing something I don't feel like doing today, but I'm going to follow Your lead. I'm going to surrender my will to Yours. The Holy Spirit teaches, reminds, convicts, and guides, and we have to depend on Him. So we should never stop learning. We should remember God's words. We should devote ourselves to truth, and we should follow His lead. Well, as we're closing up then, we have to realize that this is good news, the Holy Spirit. This is good news. We have a helper with us all the time. And if I know it as much as anybody else, I need help all the time. And I'm so thankful that I've got the counselor, the comforter living in me to convict me, to remind me, to keep teaching me, to guide me as I go, and to realize the right way, because as soon as I'm on my own, I don't want to be alone. And Jesus isn't leaving us as orphans. But as soon as if I start thinking in the mindset that I'm alone, I'll start thinking, oh, I can't do it. Or I'll start thinking, well, I don't care anymore. I'll start thinking, well, this is so important, and I'll lose where my eyes are supposed to be. I'll fix my eyes on some other thing that I want to pursue rather than Christ. And I'll get off course. The Holy Spirit gives us influence to impact those around us. When we're learning, when we're remembering what He's done, He can use us to convict the world. And He can convict the world through the truth that we share. And that's a pretty powerful thing. Next week, we'll kind of be piggybacking off of the indwelling spirit. We'll be looking at the power that's within us. I am empowered. And, of course, a big part of that is from the Holy Spirit. It's all from God. It's not my power. It's God's. And that makes me confident that, first of all, it doesn't depend on me. I just faithfully follow and depend on the Holy Spirit. I get the front row seat to see what He's going to do as I follow Him and obey Him. It doesn't depend on me. I can't save anyone. I can't change anybody's heart. I can't make anybody do anything. But the Holy Spirit can convict, and the Holy Spirit can work, and the Holy Spirit can accomplish what He wants to. And as I share God's word, God promises it will never return to Him void. And that gives me a lot of influence, not because of myself, but because I have something that I can share with others to impact others positively and help them out. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit within us. Let's pray. Thank You, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your work in our lives. We thank You that we're not alone, because we can't do it. And there's not much we can offer in and of ourselves, Lord. But when we live up to the gifts that You've given us, the conviction that You place upon our hearts, and we follow the truth that You teach us of, Lord, we can be extremely visible light and extremely tasteful salt, and we can portray the truth with our lives and demonstrate the Word of God. And Lord, we don't want anybody to be looking at us. We just want people to look through us to see God. Help us to influence the community of Danville for good. Help us to influence friends, family, those we see on any basis. And Lord, let us never for a moment think that we're on our own, because we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. We have Him in our hearts if we simply trust You, and if we thank You for that. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.